Trigger warning. This is hey, the Mark. Freedom Fiends.
Mark, you gotta wait until 10 seconds. You know, you're rude.
Yeah, we have to meow.
We have to meow, yeah.
Meow.
Meow. Okay.
And you want to do show prep.
Go ahead, bro.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios in the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
Rubber baby buggy bumpers, yes.
Jim Jesus.
Unique New York. Unique yes. New York.
Unique New York.
And James Babb.
James Babb.
Yes, I can feel it. Thank you.
It's Mark Edge. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BitCop no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except BitCop. Governments.
BitCop. He's a cop. BitCop. He's a cop. BitCop. Get him. He's a cop.
So Mark Edge quit Free Talk Live and joined the Freedom Fiends, and I'm paying him in buttons. How's your wife feel about that? How's your family? How's your son feel about that? That you've given up a lucrative radio job to be paid in buttons to just laugh all the time.
Jack really loves buttons.
Good man. Okay. Well, you want buttons? I'll send you buttons. I sent you a Bipcot surgical mask with that mic you bought from me. So maybe
hasn't arrived yet.
Buttons, something. I sent something. Yeah, it's good to have you here, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark was like Mark's from a different kind of radio show. He's a pro. He was like, I gave him this intro, and he was like rehearsing it, and like we're laughing at him, like rehearsing it. He still screwed it up, and then we're like, and he's like, are we gonna do some show prep? I'm like, show prep? This is our show prep. We just talk and warm up our jowls, man. Notes? We don't need notes. What do you want to talk about? Current events or something? Come on, man.
Well, there is a current event we should talk about, though. We should talk about Open Bazaar. I am, like, thrilled about this. Yeah. So if you heard about this Open Bazaar thing...
You just want to buy drugs. You're just a libertarian who wants to buy more narcos because you're out of them.
Yeah, I just took my last one. I'm done.
So you're going to be cranky by the end of the show, right?
I'm going to be fiending. I'm fiending. I'm always fiending.
Yeah.
No, but the Open Bazaar is a peer-to-peer technology, blah blah blah, that basically allows you to blah, host blah, your blah. Own your own eBay with Bitcoin.
Your own Silk Road,
it's like your own private Silk Road. So if you know you get shut offline, the whole thing doesn't get taken down.
But you don't have to sell drugs totally on it. Peer-to-peer. You can sell fiends buttons or Bipcot flags,
anything,
Lulberts slip mats for your shower.
That I'm selling the turntable slip mats, my Quackery Bip Strongs, and then my Libertarians Against Humanity cards.
Yes,
and
Lulberts is the sister show, one of the sister shows, along with there's also Nick Hazelton's Anarcho-Yakitalism podcast at and-yak.com and Professor CJ's Dangerous History podcast at, I don't know, Google it, but it's great. And Ben Stone, Seeds Bad Quaker. Doesn't do it anymore. Seeds of Liberty, but Bad Quaker, it's still out there and it's still great. And it's how I became an anarcho-capitalist. And Jim Jesus is one of our sister shows. That's why we call him Sister Jim Jesus. He used to be Reverend Jim Jesus, but on this show, he's Sister Jim Jesus. And there's a meme for that. Did you see the meme, Jim?
Yeah, it was disturbing. Yeah. That was absolutely disturbing. I think that I had a little baby Steve Miller and Michael Dean in my arms, and everybody had Bip Strongs on.
Yeah, and you're a nun.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm a nun. Sister Mary Jim. Sister Mary Elephant.
Sister Mary Elephant.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, I think Free Talk Live, I think that they're, who are your influences in doing radio, Mark? Because ours are Cheech and Chong, but who are yours?
I don't know that I have influences. I simply ended up doing a radio program by accident one day back in 2002. I have never even had an expectation of being on the radio, but the show did really well, and so I figured from that piece of information I must be good enough, and I just kept doing it.
Hey, Jim, can we put Open Bazaar on the back burner for a minute and definitely come back to it? But since Free Talk Live is no more and Mark Edge is joining the Freedom Feeds tonight, Mark, why don't you give us a little background on how you stumbled into radio face first? I'm curious.
Now that you've stumbled out face first, tell us how you stumbled in.
I'm willing to put Open Bazaar on the back burner for this. This is great.
Go ahead, Mark.
Of course.
Well, there's sort of two levels to my dissension into radio. I was working as a personal trainer at a gym in Bradenton, Florida.
Do you even lift, bro?
Yeah, well, I lift. Or lifted. And I was taken around this big man with a big voice, and he brought in one of the coupons to work out and that kind of thing. So I took him around and worked him on the weight equipment, and then put him on the treadmill next to some gals. And then after he was done, I brought him into the office, and he said, "Mark, I know what you're going to do now. You're going to try to sell me a gym membership." And I said, "Well, Jim, that's what I do." And he liked the fact that I didn't apologize for selling ads, or excuse me, selling gym memberships. So he decided he wanted me to sell ads for his radio station. And nice. I started working there as a 6 radio station group. And within about 3 days, this young weird jock from the rock and roll station attempted to sell me a magnetic mattress cover from his multi-level marketing magnet business.
Oh boy.
And I
careful there. I think they are a sponsor, so just, you know, careful what you say about them, okay? Yeah.
Nikon or Nikon, something like that is what the name of it was. And I sent him on his way.
Did it help you communicate with ghosts for
Hey, it's not cheating if you're dating a ghost, man.
Right. So that's inside baseball. I would go in and chit-chat with my friend Ian that I met there at the radio station every once in a while. And
he was some janitor, point, right?
He was the board op and evening disc jockey. He kind of moved around and did what he needed, what needed to be done.
It's none of my business, really, what he did.
And so
you guys were like smoking weed out back, hanging out, right?
That doesn't sound like me at all.
GMT into your eyeballs.
There were plenty of people that smoked weed out back. I was not one of them.
Ian's tripped on the fiends before. Are you tripping right now?
Did I tripped on the fiends?
No, Ian has tripped on the fiends. He's been on like 6 or 7 times. It's about time you're on. He was tripping at Porkfest on the fiends. And said,
"Yeah,
the snorkel will kick in about maybe 20 more minutes. The snorkel."
Yeah,
will kick
that's
in.
Boring though. I mean, Rush Limbaugh takes narcotics on the air. That's nothing unique there, Jim. It's not edgelordy.
He actually made a whole genre of taking narcotics on the air.
It's only interesting when Rush does it though, because he's high as hell while yelling that drug users should be thrown in prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, maybe when it gets.
What? Did we lose Jim?
Jim
got dropped. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Dropped him.
Jim got dropped.
So. You know, at the rock and roll station he was on, 105.9 WYNF, flip formats to a hot talker with Bob and Tom in the morning and the Monsters of the Midday and I don't even know what, and the Love Doctors in the afternoon and then Drew Garabo in the evenings. Well, he had told me at in one of our many chats that his goal was to be a talk show host. And so I mentioned it to the Big Jim, who got me the job. I mentioned that my friend wanted to be a talk show host. He said, "Get me an air check." And so this is where the story kind of differentiates. Ian says, "I never told him that," but whatever. At some point or another, Ian did get him an air check, and Big Jim, he gave us a slot on Sunday night from 7 to 11, which is basically Siberia. And we did the show, and it was just wall-to-wall calls. Oh, well,
no,
Ian asked me
to... No, this is Siberia. 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. East Coast time, that's more Siberia.
It is, but you're on many radio stations. We were only on one.
And we're on 5 nights a week, so go ahead.
Yeah.
7 days
a week.
And we don't take calls.
before Ian did the show, he asked me if I would be if I'd answer phones on the first evening. And since I had just broken up with my fiance, I had some time on my hands, and I agreed to that. And so I was sitting there, and there were he and another guy were doing the show, and there was a third mic in front of me, and he turned that mic on, and I would talk when the phone calls weren't coming in. And so that's how the show started happening. We were wall-to-wall calls, and after 2 weeks, they asked us if we wanted to do weekdays, and we said yes. And that was Free Talk Live in November of 2002 on it was probably called WSRQ at the time, but the call letters changed.
You were called Manwich at the time.
Yeah, I had to come up with another name. I'm selling radio ads in town, right? I got to be respectable. And so if I came up with an opinion, I didn't want that opinion to in any way
Wait, was Manwich the name of your sales character or your online or your on-air persona?
On-air.
My on-air persona. I had changed my sales character from my real name, Mark Edgington, to Mark Edge after I had an incident at the Miami City Volunteer Fire Department's Fire Muster and Antique Auto Show where I had given out my business card to a gal who was probably a little overzealous, and I wasn't as clear with her as I could have been about my relationship status.
This kind of sounds like a grinder username, but I always thought that you changed it because you got in trouble with
Hormel or something like that. Like a guitar player from U2 or something.
I got in trouble with what?
I thought you had gotten in trouble with Hormel or something like that. You know,
Well, there was that did sort of happen. So I changed it from Manwich. I changed my name to Manwich on the air so that I'd have some plausible deniability. Some people did recognize my voice, but I ended up we ended up on GCN. So 2 years later, and Genesis Communications Network, our syndicate here for Freedom Fiends, and they, at some point or another, as the show began to get more popular, Ted Anderson, the guy who runs the whole show there, he didn't really like the idea that ConAgra Foods might be coming after us and him, and so he said, he'd like to see the name changed, and he was kind enough to offer sort of something in return. I don't remember what it was.
Sloppy Joe.
I don't know what it. I really do not remember what it was. But Ted has always treated Free Talk Live quite well.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's
who was
the
third guy? You had a third host, didn't you?
Yeah, he was. His name was Mike, and he, he was kind of a laugh track. He did a, bring in sports stuff and that kind of thing. It was a different show back then.
He's like that original Beatles member that nobody remembers,
Pete Best.
It's a lot like that.
We're gonna go to the free market here and come back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends, and yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
And of course, whatever, Jim Jesus and James Babb, who cares? So you were telling your story about how you got on Free Talk Live, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I sort of wrapped it up, but, Free Talk Live, we got...
There's got to be more.
Okay, I got a little more. So... What happened once Ian and I did the radio program was at some point or another the hot talk format there on 105.9 WYNF didn't really work out for that station group, which was kind of a the respectable station in town, right? So we ended up at another radio station, you know, across the street.
Less respectable?
Yeah, less respectable radio station.
Okay.
Owned by the
like Howard Stern.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Owned by the Catholic diocese. They were selling time, and we ended up over there. I began working for yet another radio station in town, and that station, at some point or another, just took the show on to kind of keep us quiet, I guess, be nice to us. And Ian began working as...
You were controlled opposition or at that early stage?
That's basically it. Ian was working at the radio station 1220 WIBQ in Sarasota, Florida with me. I was the sales manager, general manager. My title kept changing. His was basically board monkey. And he... he had talked to the owner of the station about getting Harry Brown, who was the former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party in both 1996 and 2000. He had a radio program, and it was being syndicated by Genesis Communications Network. And GCN, Ian wanted to be able to carry that show on 1220. So he talked to the owner. The owner said, that's fine. And, you know, it was on, I think, from Saturday evenings from 10 to midnight or something like that. And
that
so
was a
he
great
called.
Show. I remember that.
Do you remember it? It was a great show. And yeah. So he called up GCN and he talked to them about the show. And he mentioned, "Hey, are you guys taking programming?" And sure enough, they said they were. So he sent in an air check of Free Talk Live, and they said they wanted it. So we were on Saturday evenings from 7 to 10 to start with. We were on 2 weeks, and then they asked us to do weekdays. Because the owner of the radio station that we were on, 1220, was an unmitigated drunk, Ian decided to build a remote studio in his home instead of using that station as his flagship, and it took a couple of months to build out that studio, but once it was finally built out, we began to broadcast from his house, and it's a pretty good choice because you can't be kicked off the air that way.
Well, they could remotely do it, couldn't they?
Remotely.
EMP, an EMP strike, sure, you know.
Right. Genesis Communications Network could choose not to air us, but in all likelihood, right. Some other radio station group or radio syndicate would try to pick us up. And because we have 170 radio stations that we have contracts with.
Yeah.
Or any individual station could choose not to air us, and that's certainly happened in the past, because, you know, sometimes they don't like the show, sometimes they don't like what we said, sometimes they want to switch to, I don't know, Chinese polka. Whatever they want to do, they do it.
It's big.
Yeah, we got droned in one station because MK Lords mentioned something about the female chest area. I guess I don't know about it. Say it. We're not going to be losing another station.
Was it? No, we're not saying
breasts. Breasts.
Yeah, no, you can't say that. Don't talk about them. Don't. No.
Was it literally the word breasts that got us? Got you
no.
Or?
It was. Okay. It was, you know, the same one that you would call someone who was like a bum. Okay. But not the bum. The other.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still not
hobo?
Sure.
What we.
Right. Begins with T, rhymes with its. I don't know.
No. Some of the rhymes with noob. Anyway,
that's pretty lame.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Especially after 10 p. So
isn't the FCC rules kind of put aside after a certain time? I think that is, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, there's there are rules.
Technically, you can, but radio stations. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there are rules depending on, you know, where you are. After 10 p.m., you can do different things. But, of course, Freedom Fiends airs at different times. So, in Guam, you're probably afternoon drive.
Can you imagine the horrified listener, though, that was, like, taking their kid home from soccer practice and they're listening to the Freedom Fiends like they always do, and then suddenly boobs are mentioned?
No,
that's
I can't.
That would just be horrifying as a parent. So I can understand where they're coming from.
No, I can't.
Oh, the horror.
I can't imagine that the Freedom Fiends plays when somebody's taking their kids home. I mean, I thought it was all evening.
You
is that right?
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
What does that mean to bring us back? Well, I don't know.
We're already back. There's nothing to bring.
Whatever.
We are back. Freedom Fiends.
It's already been brought.
That's right.
So tell me about this open market thing that I've been using. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm old.
I think it's cool, but I'm just kind of a novice. It's this decentralized market software. You download this app.
And Open Bazaar.
Open Bazaar, and you run it, and you basically anybody can become an online store from what it looks like, and you accept Bitcoin. And you can share links to your store or to your items, but that people need to have this app for it to work, is my understanding. So,
right, and it's a peer-to-peer thing. So instead of relying on like one firm to host all the stuff, you're
hosting Amazon,
your own
for
store.
Instance.
Yeah,
think about merchants on Amazon, for instance. Like the magnets that we get to make like refrigerator magnets and crafts and stuff. One of our vendors, after like 2 years of buying from them, no longer is able to sell magnets on Amazon. Why? And I sent the company a letter, message, and they responded. They said, oh, thanks, but yeah, due to somebody, I don't know, some kid ate one someday, you know, somewhere. Uh-huh. And therefore, all magnets are now banned on Amazon. Like, what? You know, come on. So,
yeah, Amazon,
you're always at the mercy of that central authority.
Yeah, you'd think that magnet consumption is kind of one of the things that we would just kind of keep around to thin the herd to some extent. I mean, like if you're consuming magnets to the point that it's actually a medical problem, you can eat one magnet. It's not a big deal. It's when you eat
two. Right.
When two that are separated by a period of time,
exactly.
If you gloop one magnet and gloop another magnet, you're fine. But the problem is that you eat a magnet, then you wait 2 hours, then gloop, you eat another magnet. That's when the whole thing
going to be good.
Your pension stuff, right? Like that's
right. Now your small intestine is connected to your large intestine in a way that it never intended it to be. Yeah.
If you're eating, eat one magnet and you think 2 hours later I need another magnet, then maybe the human race isn't for you. Right. Like that's what I'm thinking.
There's a lot of good minerals in there though. I mean, I don't know.
You can get those in your water, pal.
That's not how it works.
The point is, it's so easy to have the central authority have some arbitrary rule change. And this company possibly went out of business because it was a small company and this was their primary distribution channels. And they were doing great. And then suddenly, boom, they were too dependent on this third party to sustain their business. So I think this Open Bazaar, I'm hoping this is a tool that helps people avoid that.
Yeah, I'm really digging it so far. I made my first purchase on it. Excuse me, and I got an Open Bazaar pin. So I figure if I'm gonna buy something and commemorate it, I might as well get something that's related to it. So I got a little Open Bazaar pin. It's kind of like the shiny badges pins that Davy Barker sells. And it was like $7 after shipping, but I had to pay in Bitcoin, and that's like I guess that's the
it's
only
Bitcoin kind of, only right?
It's Bitcoin only, which is kind of like both the upside and the downside because it's upside for us because we love Bitcoin, so we have Bitcoin. But a lot of people probably don't, and they're probably like, I don't know what this is. Bitcoin.
That's gonna be a barrier to entry for people that don't have Bitcoin. Sure, mm-hmm.
But
having to have a special app installed on your computer. There's another big barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. So, it's got some growing to do, but I think this is an excellent opportunity, and I'm experimenting with it. Just opened up a store, or just haven't really configured it yet, but I'm going to run a store and try buying stuff anyway.
Yeah, I have my store open. It's just I have it turned off right now because I'm doing radio. But once the show's over, then you can check out the Lulbert store. And then I have the Bip Strong and the Slip Mats and the Libertarians Against Humanity. So, yeah.
I made a deal with Derek Slopey, Freedom Fiends Mad Scientist, and Drew Phillips, who are doing Open Bazaar hosting. So just so I don't have to have my computer running the store all the time, it's going to be 24/7 availability. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I think if you're really going to have a store, it needs to be, you know, professionally hosted. So kudos to those guys for, you know, for getting in on that and helping make that possible. So I think
Open Bazaar has its value is that, you know, like you were saying, nobody can kick you off for selling the things that, you know, people don't, that they don't want you to sell. In your case, it was magnets, but in some people's cases, it's going to be a whole, right, rainbows. Some people's cases, it's going to be different stuff. So what Open Bazaar does to some extent is it's going to bring the dark web onto the light web. And people are going to start selling. When you can't be told you can't sell anything, a certain thing, then people are going to begin selling all kinds of weird stuff. And I wonder how that's going to affect Open Bazaar as a program. I want to know about the programmers, what's going to happen with them. All of it's very interesting to me. I'm going to keep an eye on Open Bazaar.
I remember there was a company that sold bank, and I actually have some. It's not by them, but it was a company called Bucky Balls, and they were like these little magnetic balls, and you can kind of play with them and build things out of them and whatever. And
I got them right here.
Addictive. Yeah, they're super addictive.
Rare earth metal magnets.
Neodymium magnets, yeah.
Yeah, and they were really fun. And then the FTC, I think, basically sued them to bankruptcy because kids were swallowing them. And I think that's probably where Amazon stopped selling them, right? Was that about that same time when that happened?
I think it was eventual fallout that came like a year later, maybe. It wasn't all at the same time, but eventually they're like, oh, it's out.
The whole thing really just got wrapped up recently with Zen Magnets, who did stay in business, and they managed to, the FTC's case just sort of drug into the dirt. They really never had any standing at all. They just didn't feel like Americans were smart enough to handle magnets, and
So
I mean,
can't explain that.
Magnets next to Cherry and Penthouse at the local gas station, then they're just too dangerous.
Yeah, I ended up buying it from a company called Deal Extreme, and I like this website. It's like you can buy cheap trinkets and stuff from Hong Kong, and they have everything that's banned here. They had the Bucky Balls there, and they were like half off what you normally pay for, but you have to wait for an entire month to get them in the mail. But got those in my plastic 3D glasses so I can put them on when I'm listening to the Fiends, because apparently you're supposed to put 3D glasses on. How does that work?
I don't know.
Like magnets, I guess. But I'm really kind of looking forward to this. Look, hopefully someone buys something from me, because I'm kind of interesting to see how that works with the Open Bazaar thing. So buy something from me, please. Please clap.
How does one get to the website?
I guess you have to go to openbazaar.org. Yeah, it's .org. And you download the software, and it tells which one you need. It looks at your computer and says, okay, I know you're dumb, so here's the one you need, and they help you download it.
These programmers who did this stuff, they're geniuses.
Mm-hmm. And so it tells what you need, and then you download it and run it, and then it kind of goes, takes the steps, like, okay, what language do you speak, all the stuff, and then you create your account, and you tell it whether or not you want to be someone who just wants to sell stuff, or if you want to be a seller as well, or buy stuff, or if you want to sell stuff as well. And then there's also a thing called a moderator, which I think is kind of neat. It's kind of like a decentralized kind of like administration moderation service, where you can basically choose Theme someone phone. To be a moderator for
Theme
you.
Phone.
Welcome back, Bab. And
they missed.
For a fee of every sale that you do through this moderator, people can be assured that if something happens, your money would be thrown in like this escrow account. So if they never deliver what you paid for, the moderator can kind of work between it, and if they decide, okay, well, you didn't provide the goods and services that you were told to or that you contracted for, we're going to issue you a refund, and you don't have to deal with that aspect of it. I don't have any moderators right now, but I don't know anything about it yet. But
that could really be important if you're selling like an expensive item, or maybe a car,
yeah,
or diamonds, or right. I mean, isn't that? I think that's a great feature to make it safer to do business.
Right, but if it's $7 worth of Bitcoin for a pin, and if something happens to it, I'm gonna say it. That's terrible, but you know, I'm not going to lose too much sleep. But
what about like vendor reviews yeah. and stuff? How do we like give like rankings and to
funny
vendors?
You should ask. They have a review system, so if you buy something, you can put a review in there and say like, oh, it came super fast, all the bracelets letters stayed on. So I'm happy.
Yeah, see,
strong.
I love it. That's how I know it's good. I think it's going to take off.
Yeah. So that's a thing.
I'm really
curious as to what's going to happen with this, because at some point or another, somebody's going to sell some things that somebody in the government didn't like.
Yeah, well, I've already seen some things on there that I was like, that's something I definitely don't want anything to do with.
And some of these things are highly not libertarian, right? Like stolen credit cards and numbers and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I saw something else. I don't want to mention what it is, but I was like, nah. And I ended up blocking the user selling
human
it,
so. Trafficking, you know, the usual.
Right.
Yeah, if you see
buy a gaggle of kids from Cambodia.
So if you see something you don't like, you can actually block the seller so you don't see their stuff anymore, which is great. So, you know. And then there's like a not safe for work option or an 18 and plus thing. So if you know you don't want to see any kind of adult material on there, you can set that up so you don't see it. So there's lots of things for you to control what you see and what you don't and what you buy. And
what do you think people are going to use it for? Like what are the markets that are really going to thrive out here? Is it going to be like a Craigslist kind of a thing where people just start doing their like just selling odd stuff like eBay, or you know, what do you think it's really going to turn into?
Hopefully it's going to be something like Silk Road, but with, you know, some gray markets involved, not completely.
With a lot less feds involved.
Yeah. Let's hope. Oh, I think we have to go to the white market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org. Running this $1.4 million randomizer app to help you go left or right.
Yeah.
You know that, I mean, it's got to be a workplace hazard to have to flip a coin over and over like that. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine one of these government employees could be able to handle that. I mean, they're going to get carpal tunnel or something.
They probably would have got it cheaper if they went to Open Bazaar. By the way, is Open Bazaar cultural appropriation from the Persians? I'm sorry. This is really triggering. I'm sure someone has to be offended by this. We have to shut Open Bazaar down. Sorry.
Yeah. Sounds like something from like the from I don't know. The Moors, Orient,
and Persia.
Just tell anyone that that doesn't like it that they're no longer allowed to use flush toilets, and they'll shut right up.
Oh, explain, please.
Well, I mean, flush toilets were created by, I guess, an American. I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up. But, you know, I mean, unless you are of the culture that created flush toilets, then there's really nothing to be said.
Well, they've always had the Ganges, okay? So it's not like flush toilets are that much of a new thing.
So yeah, I guess if you're squatting, you're doing the little squat where you're standing on the little two pegs. That's only for the Asians. So if I go to Asia, I have to say like, no, I can't do that. I have to use a toilet, otherwise it's cultural appropriation of your culture. And then
I guess they're not allowed to use it without appropriating that bit of culture. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is essentially, somebody created a flush toilet somewhere. I'm going to assume
the whole concept of cultural appropriation is so ridiculous and hilarious, but it actually permeates like my own daughter's teacher had these weird ideas about this. Like her English teacher in seventh grade was like trying to get them on, and this is at a Quaker school, trying to get them on board with cultural appropriation, and the class just kind of laughed at this teacher, and the teacher ended up crying. I'm like, this is
crying. Teachers at Quaker schools have to be pretty common.
I'm serious. It was so sad. They had this assignment to write a letter to a company to complain about cultural appropriation. Like one kid wrote a letter to Toys R Us to complain that they sell a toy teepee. Okay, I kid you not. And I was like, whoa. So Dorothy's like, oh, do I have to do this? I said, hey, maybe you could do it as satire, make it hilarious. And she's like, yeah. So she did a satire letter complaining to this Philadelphia cheesesteak company about how their use of traditional Philadelphia icons and is offensive to our people.
Wait, let me play devil's advocate here, okay? You're a white male!
Right, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. So
I'll note that people that say this do not ask you first, right? Like, nobody asks me, do I self-identify as a white male? Because I don't self-identify as a white male. I self-identify as having no race at all. And further, I self-identify as your king. So,
respect it.
Respect
it's
it.
A culture. Like,
if you don't respect culture, what I self-identify as...
Right. It's a royal culture, not a costume, okay? Respect it.
And that's, you know, it really puts people in a very difficult position because, I mean, are you going to offend the guy, the crazy person who now self-identifies as your king?
It's so easy to turn offensive. The tables on these people. That's the ridiculous thing.
It's because it's dumb. I mean, the whole concept of cultural appropriation is just...
It's
dumb.
It's awful.
Is that the technical term? Dumb.
Yes.
Listen, it did create a great opportunity. It created a good opportunity for learning.
Yeah,
first of all, the kids thought about it, realized it was ridiculous, and rejected it. Okay, so that was a useful lesson. Two, the teachers told Dorothy, okay, now you have to mail it. And she's like, what? and you're like, yeah, you have to mail it. And Dorothy's like, no. Nope. No. And the teacher's like, no, we really, you got to mail. And like, no. So Dorothy was able to say no to, as much of an authority figure she's going to get there. So
that's a good thing to be able to do, is to be able to say no to somebody who's making an unreasonable demand.
Exactly.
I identify as a fiend.
Sometimes.
My Bipcot surgical mask is a culture, not a costume.
It's your radio privilege.
I guess it's time for markets and news.
Right.
Am I doing this? Is this right?
All right. You're telegraphing the break, so no, okay. It's not right. No. Okay.
As long as it's not an ad for that new darn Ghostbusters movie. Ugh.
It's a teaching hospice.
You're a white male!
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
On their mobile device.
That would be great. And they should just call it, they shouldn't give it a fancy name. They should just call it Black Jacket Hookers, right? Oh, we're on Freedom Fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcast from Podbay 2A, mild above sea level, underclimatic prairie streams, where algae locusts are released by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasting, toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sitting full of seas. I'm out of your head. Can you feel it? James Babb and Mark Edge.
Yes, but that was the hour one intro. This is hour
two. That's the only one I have memorized and do fast. So that's the one you're going to get. And that's why I race through it real quick. And of course, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. And you can get yourself a human license at lulberts.com. And that way, you know, you'll be protected from the government from victimless crimes because it's magic or a chakras holograms or something. It doesn't actually work. So, what was this? What were you saying during the break? We were talking about something. You wanted to bring something up.
They had this big get together in Washington, and I thought this was interesting on several different levels. It was a mass marijuana consumption at the White House, and evidently there was a split within the sort of the stoner community or the weed advocacy people. The legalizers, some are like, oh, you can't break the law. And the other people are like, F the law, smoke it anyway. So there seems to be sort of this conflict there. But anyway, I saw the pictures. They had this 50-foot joint, what looked like a 50-foot joint. The Secret Service at first blocked it. They're like, nope, you're not bringing that. Anyway, great photos. Everybody looks like they had a great time. But my question for you guys is, like, to me, part of this demonstration was kind of cool because it's saying, like, hey, your stupid laws don't even apply to us. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to go to the park. And if we want to smoke weed, we're going to smoke weed. You know, what's it to you? But then the other side says, like, on this big 50-foot joint, it says Obama reschedule cannabis now. I was like, oh, God, that's weak, you know?
Is it better than taxation is theft?
No. That's what it should say on there. Taxation is theft.
Taxation right? is extortion, not theft. Inflation is theft.
Anyways,
go ahead.
Well, what do you guys think about this? Is this a good development or is this sort of?
Well, I can see why somebody would want to, not be thrown in jail for smoking the particular dried plant that they want to smoke, and if I smoked that dried plant, I may want to, head on over and talk to some of the people that I consider to be the real sort of the pivot points about, throwing folks in jail for this. So I don't see a particular problem with it. Do I think it's going to change anything? I don't think it's going to largely change anything. No, it doesn't seem like Obama himself is against marijuana legalization. However, lots of people that work for him are, and, the liberal goodies don't want to do anything to the unions, and the fact is the police unions really don't want to see marijuana legalized, so they've got right. a real dilemma.
I thought Obama actually said that he didn't want to see it legalized. I think that's what he said after he was bragging about how much he smoked and may have done a little bit of blow. But then he went on to say, oh yeah, but everybody else should be should be arrested or fined or thrown in jail.
In prison, you know, for decades.
They're
going to
say these things,
cases.
I mean, depending on where they are.
Yeah. Well, this was, I think it was Leno, wasn't it? it was like one of these late night talk show hosts. We're all the young kids are watching. You know, and he's like, "Yeah, hey kids, I know you like me and everything, but you belong in a jail."
Ridiculous. You know what I'd like to see these within the legalization community? I think it's time to start talking like making more demands. It's not just legalizing, okay? I think it's time to start saying like, when are the Nuremberg trials going to be for these drug warriors, right? That's something we've talked about. It's like, what are the penalties for you guys going to be? Like, why don't we start negotiating, where we all stand down here? Because, you know, let's face it, these drug warriors have committed heinous crimes, imprisoned millions of people, ruined countless lives, right? Like, when do we get to start talking about justice for their victims?
Well, I would suspect the answer to that is never, ever.
Yeah.
Not one of those police during the prohibition of alcohol in the United States was ever held to account for, whatever they did to make people's lives miserable. I don't suspect you're ever.
Oh, I think
see
a lot of the. I think there was a lot of people held accountable during alcohol prohibition. You know, maybe not in public trials, but they certainly met with some market forces that were rather strong.
Sure. I bet they did.
Yeah.
Back then, it was a little easier to compete, as it were. You know, you didn't have, police didn't come equipped with the kind of firepower that they have, the radios and all that stuff. At this point, all you can really do if you're going to fight them is to fight them through the legal system, because you certainly aren't going to fight them elsewhere.
Yeah. But yeah.
I guess my fear is that, that they do the job, weed is legal, maybe other drugs, maybe we even like start getting rid of the whole drug war, but the prisons don't empty out. And what if they take all this tax money and buy more prisons with it? I'm just it's a possible outcome.
Yeah. But it's kind of funny to see them always begging, like, "Oh, please, can you like just make it a little less legal or less illegal? Like, could you make it like just like a little bit of a crime? How about can you tax it? Like, can you take a little bit of my money, please,
right.
Please? Like,
yeah,
why
like,
make-
can I trade? Could we do extortion instead of kidnapping?
Yeah,
that's what a lot of the legalization movement is based on. Like, we'd really prefer extortion over kidnapping. Deal." What do you say, guys? Can we negotiate? You know? Oh, he wants to do extortion only. Way, we win! Yay!
That's not a win.
You can look at alcohol. A lot of people look at alcohol and they say, I suppose this has worked out okay. What they don't see is the amount of bureaucracy and the difficulty of brewers trying to get their stuff to market, how distributors control the whole market. They don't see these things.
Yeah.
That really alcohol prohibition still has its effects today.
Yeah, I saw a really good movie called Beer Wars, and they go through the whole entire process of what it takes for like a small brewer to get their stuff distributed. Like the three big, or actually they're not three anymore, and now there's just two. It's I'm not going to mention their names because I'm sure there's advertisers somewhere, but like the big ones control all like the distributorships, and then they control what. You know, they control like what beers get displayed on the racks at the stores, and they determine like, okay, we get this part, and then the other major beer company gets the other half, and then we have like a small little section just for the small breweries, and they can kind of fight over that, and then that's it. And so getting shelf space is a real task. It's it takes a lot of fighting and stuff, and a lot of companies have been basically. Priced or not priced out, but they've been kind
that's
of forced
nothing.
Out.
That's nothing down. Compared to what they put up with in Philly. They still do armed raids of bars, okay? Elliot Ness style, like kicking in doors, guns drawn, because they get a citizen complaint that a different beer is available than the paperwork says. I'm not making that up. Like they literally like everybody freeze, like it's a raid. We know you got that beer, and it's you know, it's the current year.
you weren't supposed to have that many chocolate malts in that beer. No, it was supposed to be more hoppy. How dare
a man
you?
Had his a man in Chester County, Pennsylvania, had his wine collection seized.
Yep.
Was over $200,000 worth of wine. They seized it because he was trading with his friends that you know, exotic wines that the government wine cartel doesn't order.
Ugh.
Oops. So not only did they seize it, then they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do with it? Well, they found some weird like loophole from Prohibition era that says, well, if seized alcohol can be used for charity. Did you not? So they found this loophole. So like this hospital charity says, hey, we could sell that wine at an auction, and this could like buy our new pediatric wing or something. You know.
So they weren't supposed to have the wine because that wine is not allowed. So we're going to sell it to someone else who lives in the same general area so they can have it. And then can't they just like go and say, you have the wine now. We're going to raid you and then take that wine and put it back
anyway,
in auction.
Well, this was... somebody is like, come on, this is like some awesome wine and you're going to destroy it? Like what, you know, screw you, Elliot Ness. So they went to court and they said, come on, please let us sell this wine for charity. We all agree, of course, that the man who bought it can't have it, but...
everybody else can.
Please be reasonable and let this third party have it instead of flushing it down the drain. And the judge is like, nope. You got to destroy it. As far as I know, it was destroyed. Unless there was like a daring, you know, like middle of the night raid to free it. How many of those bottles do you think ended up like at the judge's country club and in everybody's private wine cellar? I bet you all those jerks raided it and just all the cops. Everybody got a little, you know, case to take home.
Yeah, they bought a case of Red Tail just so they could pour it on the floor and look, there's the puddle. There's the puddle.
Jerks. Seriously. Yeah.
It feels like some of those big metropolitan areas. You were just talking about Philadelphia. They're just so messed up. It makes me wonder why folks continue to put up with it. I mean, it's such an
food.
They're such insane places. The food,
food is
the
awesome.
Good restaurants.
Yeah, the food is amazing.
Yeah.
If that's New Hampshire ever got restaurants, man, it'd be over for the rest of the country.
New Hampshire, they have pretty much almost like a socialized system for alcohol distributors, don't they? Like, aren't all the liquor stores owned by the state?
Nearly all of the liquor stores are owned by the state. There's nothing good about alcohol distribution in New Hampshire, except the pricing. Apparently, it's cheaper than the surrounding states.
Well, what is that? Well,
they don't like it when you come. They don't like it when you go there and you sing marijuana carols at the inside
Shire
there.
Choir. Oh, that was so good.
Poor Derek.
Ian still bans from every. Missed this story. We got to tell the. Do you mind telling the Shire Choir story at the liquor store? It's so good.
So, a bunch of misfit anarchists go from Keene, New Hampshire, around to different liquor stores, state-run liquor stores in around the state, and they
inspired by the season.
Yes, and they sing carols that have been converted from just have the right verbiage to fit in, and. They get kicked out, and my business partner, Ian Freeman, is still banned from the liquor stores all across the state.
More on this later.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends.
It's not like he can send Renee to get booze either.
FreedomFiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school.
And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Something. Freedom Fiend, something, something.
Something, something, worms. Worms
Jim something, something worms. Jim something, and Mark something. I don't know. What are we doing? So anyways, tell us about this, why everyone you know is banned from the liquor stores in New Hampshire.
Right. You know, getting banned for musical numbers, that's great. You know, like, if you're going to go get banned for something, do it in style. Kudos to those guys.
You know, this kind of activism that my business partner Ian has done time and time and time again is probably the reason that he has gotten basically kicked out of the Free State Project. I mean, you have to admit that every time you do something like this, it's going to, you know, annoy somebody. And then as these things pile up, your list of annoyed people tend to pile up. And, you know, at some point or another, the list outweighs whatever pull you have within the organization. And
But you know what?
Now you're not allowed to go to Pork Fest anymore.
You know what? It just seems like those people that get annoyed by that are the people that need to be annoyed. So I don't really care. I think it's fine. If you're going to get all uptight, like, how dare they sing mock Christmas carols at a government liquor cartel outlet? How dare they do that? They're ruining our movement. Like, get lost. I mean, come on. Who cannot see the fun in that, right?
Yeah, yep, that's how that goes. I don't know what to tell you. As all I know is that I don't get my free ticket to the Porcupine Freedom Festival any longer. And if I go, I have to buy my own accommodations. So there you go. That's how it is.
Disaster there. Yeah, that's definitely a disaster. But
yeah, I couldn't make it anyway. But now it's like, I'm glad.
What was up with Liberty Forum? Was it because all the anarchists were at Anarcapulco or something? Because there's a lot of great people there, but it seemed like a lot of squares. I mean, what's the scoop? That was my first Liberty Forum. Is it always that way?
I don't know how to address it. I mean, I get along with the squares as
so do
well
I,
as anyone.
But,
you know, I mean, all I can say is Liberty Forum looked about as big as it's ever been. I thought it was a great event or whatever. It was
especially
really wonderful.
Especially with Snowden. Wasn't that amazing? What a great event that was.
When Ian Freeman received his award from the Free State Project for sort of a lifetime of achievement award, and then two weeks later, he's kicked out of the whole thing.
How does that work? I mean, I don't even understand.
Congratulations, you're banned.
Come on, guys. You know, it's just wrong. It's so wrong.
That's kind of how it went.
Yeah, I guess Freedom Fest is going to happen in Vegas. I've never been to it. It keeps happening, and then I'm like, I should go check it out. I don't want to buy a ticket, but I should at least like go walk around and see all these people. And then I'm like, no, I'm bored. I don't want to leave. Strip sucks. I hate going to the Strip, unless it's for White Castle. Then I'll go to White Castle, but that's about it.
Whenever I end up in Vegas, I usually go to the Cabo Wabo there, and you can sit right on the strip and eat reasonably good food and watch the really strange people wander by. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing for me.
Yeah.
Do they still like shake down people for selling water bottles on the sidewalk?
I haven't noticed the cops bothering anyone at all, but I'd be afraid to film the police on the strip in Vegas.
Yeah, Metro has a nice reputation. Now, they have a reputation for being jerks, even more jerky than normal run-of-the-mill.
Like, ask Jim Dunsing about that, right?
Who? I don't know Jim who Dunsing? That is.
Oh, he
well,
was...
they put holes in him.
Yeah, they... and then they put him in jail for failure to die when after tasing him and shooting him, he still lived. So they're like, okay, go to jail. Yeah, no, I don't know if that was Vegas or where that was, but it was somewhere in Nevada.
I think that was Summerlin, which is kind of over where I live. I don't live officially in Summerlin, but I live in that area. It's a nice area, which is kind of weird what you would hear something like that happening in.
Yeah, they don't take too kindly to you wanting to live. No.
Not after they've gone and pulled out their guns and shot you.
Yeah.
But that's why if I do plan some sort of Pork Fest alternative, it's going to be not in the metro area here. Probably
it's going to be at the Bunny Ranch, right?
I think the Bunny Ranch is over in Reno. So that's
where is that one that that was pimping for Ron Paul? Do you remember that in 2008?
That was him. That was Dennis Hoff for the Bunny Ranch. But he owns one of the brothels in the Pahrump area, I believe. He's got them all over the place. He's got a whole chain of them. So yeah, it's just the Bunny Ranch is far away from us.
That really helped Ron Paul's campaign though. So yeah, that was cool.
We're gonna do our own Pork Fest with hookers and blackjack. In fact, forget the Pork Fest.
Sounds like a family event.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
No.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb. We got Jim Jesus. We got Mark Edge as a fiend.
Am I supposed to meow?
Meow.
That's optional. Any animal noises you make utter are purely at your discretion.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Speaking of uttering animal noises, Bernie Sanders, this video of Bernie Sanders came out that it seems to be pretty funny, and I guess evidently, if you didn't know, Bernie Sanders might be some kind of a communist, socialist, whatever. I don't know. What is this? What is this new video that came out, Jim?
Paint me surprised. Apparently, there's a video that came out. It seems like I had seen this video before, but I don't know if the whole thing came out. But there was a very important section of this video that came out where they were talking about the socialist movements of other countries, and I guess the bread lines got brought up, you know, because, you know, socialism sucks. Of course, there's going to be bread lines, gluten-free bread lines, at least in the democratic socialist. There are going to be democratic gluten-free bread lines. But I guess Bernie Sanders said, this is quoting, "It's funny, sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is that people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. Other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get all the food and the poor people starve."
Where the hell is that? I mean, when you have a famine on planet Earth in 2016, a famine is always government caused.
Always.
Mean, there must have been a time in human history that famines weren't government caused, but at this point, food distribution is well enough developed that it's only the government, and let's go so far as to say it, socialist governments that cause famine. I mean, where are the poor people not getting food right now?
Well, Venezuela. I mean, like, there's right. Weather conditions that start it, and it's usually the government policies that make it into a catastrophe where people die. Whereas the United States, if you know something that would start a famine happen, it's going to be like, oh, you know, potatoes are just going to go up $5 to $5 a pound instead of, you know, normally what they are, what, $1 a pound or something. You know, so people go, oh, okay, we're just going to eat something else instead because, you know, there's market reactions for it. We're in, you know, places like China. You know, like if rice is the main thing and that's where you're putting all your infrastructure in, and if something happens and you don't have market prices to deal with it, then everybody just starves to death. And that's how it works.
Well, I mean, in fact, just recently in North Korea, the people were instructed to brace to prepare themselves for a famine. They're actually planning a famine in North Korea. And they've and this is how they handle it. They've instructed the people to bring 2 pounds of rice per month to the Capitol. Okay, so you can give it to the state warehouses each month. Okay, and they're calling it a 70-day they're calling for a 70-day campaign of loyalty. Okay. So that's how they respond to a famine. Like, uh-oh, it looks like we're going to be running low on rice. Quick, everybody bring your rice to the state warehouse.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the new leader of, was it Kim Jong-un? Is that the new one? I don't remember. That's hard to remember. Yeah, Kim Jong-un has been getting fatter in preparation for the famine, so he won't starve to death.
Well, he reportedly lacks a certain anatomical feature that might have something to do with his bloating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have one because he doesn't create excrement. That's what I heard from the interview, and they have all these things, and it's kind of a weird thing with Kim with that country and all those.
Rumors. Well, he says the road to revolution is long and arduous.
Yeah.
So we are the best. Get ready for long and arduous. That's his sales pitch. Yeah, long and arduous. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what we got. But they're the place where the unicorns are, so everything's fine.
Hey, weed's legal too, right?
Yeah.
So they have that.
By legal, you mean what?
I think anybody can grow weed in North Korea. The farmers grow it. I think it's a common like folk herb. That's my understanding.
But, interesting.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to grow that when you don't have food.
It's like, right, the joke is, but then the munchies kick in and you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible. No, I wish the best for these. In fact, I just saw Adam Kokesh's book Freedom is now released in Korean. So maybe some will be catapulted or delivered by drone over the... Over the demilitarized zone,
or from China or Russia, they could send it across the border there. That's what they usually do. They go to China and they send off these balloons. They're filled with flash drives and all sorts of media, so they can slip it into the country. Because that's a great way of kind of combating the mind control that everything outside of best Korea is terrible is just by leaking media from other countries. So they get to watch American movies and Chinese movies and Korean movies, and they get to see like,
wait
a minute, they don't have gluten-free breadlines. People just go to the store and
you really know you're in trouble when like you start seeing balloons landing in your yard with thumb drives. Like, what if that's you? Wait a minute. Who just did this data drop on me? Because they're so concerned that I'm in this political boundary.
Yeah, the stuff that goes on in North Korea is terrible. But apparently it's a good thing because, standing in line for food, at least you get food.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. And in fact, it kind of reminds me of a funny story. Is that, there's like this person who's standing in the gluten-free bread line, waiting to get their gluten-free bread, and they go into the store, and it's empty. And they say to the owner, like, oh, I see you're out of gluten-free bread today. And they're like, no, we're the store that's out of organic soy butter. The store that's out of gluten-free bread is across the street. Yeah. And that's democratic socialism. Well, at least you get to vote on what they don't have.
Remember there was an old joke about the old women in the Soviet bread line, and they're talking, and they're like, oh, the one lady says, oh, I can't believe we have to wait 3 hours in line for bread. This is terrible. And the other woman says, hey, don't knock it. In the United States, they don't even give their people bread. Like, literally, that is the joke that Bernie delivered.
I like the other one where two people are standing in line complaining how long the bread lines are, and she goes, that's it, I'm so tired of this, I'm going to go kill Gorbachev. And then she leaves, and an hour later she comes back and she's like, well, did you kill Gorbachev? She said, no, the line for that's even longer.
The funny thing is that this Bernie Sanders guy is probably the you know, the most electable of these people that are running for president today. I mean, that's what's hilarious here. What do you mean by electable?
Do you think people? I mean, you think he's? You think the people that control this would insert him into that role?
Well, I'm not entirely certain how controlled these things are. I think that the control generally comes from sort of human engineering as opposed to the elections themselves, the counting of the votes.
It's not like his positions are anything. I can't think of a single position that's dramatically different from Donald Trump, for instance. Right? There's probably something, right? But I can't think of it.
Yeah, they both want to build walls. Both want to have universal health care, or at least last week, not now. They both wanted that.
It seems like Trump and Sanders are probably the most disruptive choices that you could make on either given side, right? I mean, you know, like obviously Clinton was the chosen one for the Democratic side, and on the Republican side, it certainly wasn't as clear, but Trump is the most outsidery of the outsiders.
I think when it's all said and done, out of all the people that probably have a chance, which would be Cruz, Trump, Clinton, and Sanders, he would be the least destructive if he was in, because he's only going to appeal to the firebrands. He's only going to ever get things done with them. The main of the Democratic Party want nothing to do with that stuff, so they're not going to work with him. And besides, they don't have a plurality in the electorate, so they're not going to work with them. And he's basically, all he's going to have is a bully pulpit. So you're going to have some regime uncertainty, but that's about it. He's not going to get anything done.
Including wars. Like, Sanders isn't particularly war-oriented, which makes me like him a bit more than most.
I thought he's voted to fund all the wars.
He has voted to fund them, but he didn't vote for them, which is a better thing than you can say about most of the politicians out there. I'm not calling it a good thing.
Well, voted. Let's be fair, though. We don't really know how the convention's going to play out until Goldman Sachs writes the script several days beforehand. Okay, so let's not jump to conclusions. Okay, because they haven't even decided the outcome yet for sure.
So, yeah, it could be Kasich who takes No, God, no. Please, no.
That'd be a different convention.
Man. Oh, yeah. I thought he was like, whatever. He's just some guy, whatever. And then I saw his victory speech in Ohio, and he was like, oh, this is for the mailman who works all day and he gets tired feet and he has to sit home and put his feet up on the bed, but there's no bed to put his thing up. And, you know, my dad was a mailman. And
oh, my God.
This is worse than Trump. He just goes on these.
Well, what kind of remarks does he say about his junk? Does he talk about the size of his junk? Or
I'm sure it's not a problem.
Let me ask you this: actually. Does he even eat boogers on TV?
Okay. Oh God!
I mean, how do I know he's serious or not? And what is his reported mistress count? Can he even compete with the others?
I don't know. I don't buy it.
At this point, Kasich is embroiled in a homosexual thing. They're calling him gay because apparently he lived with a gay man for some period of time while he was married, and he has a regular weekly meeting with gay guys. I've gone to work with gay guys, and I don't think it'd be a problem to share an apartment, you know, if you're staying in Washington and your home's in Ohio, to share an apartment with the gay guys or whatever. I don't know.
Now, hold on a
minute.
You're
going to get really good brunch.
Hold on. Okay, I just want to say that my dad was a postal worker, and we knew what it's like to do all these things, and I don't know where you come off saying this. I'm not trying to take the low road to the highest road of the nation. You suck, Kasich.
Remember when Homer Simpson moved in with the gay dudes in the apartment?
No.
Oh,
okay. You turn into Kasich?
Yeah, this plot has already been written by Simpsons, like so many other things.
They need to play the Motel 6 theme every time he talks.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Yeah.
Unless it was, had a really good reason.
I was like, he doesn't even understand it. How could you oppose it? All right. Back Austin Peterson. Austin Peterson. Actually, there's everybody should support this nap, and that's not Austin Peterson.
Hey, you contaminated our final segment with... Anyway, this is supposed to be about good news. Very good news. Now, Mark, what was that about the... You had an interesting development in the safe space front.
Yeah, there's a really great news out of Breitbart. Apparently, some university students are receiving much-needed counseling after seeing a Confederate flag sticker on a laptop.
Whoa.
The picture they've got here, this clip art they've got from the AP on this Breitbart thing, clearly shows a woman who is in deep, deep pain and needs some counseling. It says here, university students in Massachusetts were upset by an image of a Confederate flag sticker on another student's laptop. They were offered counseling services at the Framingham State University. The offer came after the university's Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer. That sounds like that job pays well.
Wow.
Sean Huddleston.
I bet they hire a lot of white people for that job, too.
I bet they do. A white male. Describe the...
You're a white male!
Describe the display of the small Confederate flag sticker as a bias incident. So they've got a name for it. Apparently, students filed
bias
two...
bias incident.
They have a bias reports for the bias incidents, too. The students file two bias reports.
Well, what do they have, like an app on their phone to report microaggressions instantly as they occur and geotag them as they happen?
That's a great idea. I imagine they probably have that for the iPhone. It's still coming out in Android. Yeah. So the
microaggressions. Yeah. So you know what to demand from the administration, right?
Like, they're not actually calling for a direct ban on displaying the flag, but he did claim that it upset some of the students. And this is following right on the heels of some kids that, had Trump 2016 written in their safe spaces. When I was going to college, I didn't even know there was a safe space. I mean, there's like the student center where you could go play Galaga, but I mean... I didn't really think of it as much of a safe space. Now the kids have safe spaces. They've got bubbles in there they can play with and crayons they can draw with. Well,
so were there like emergency muffins and puppies deployed to help these poor traumatized students that caught a glimpse of a sticker on a laptop?
That's pretty much how it seems to go these days. Many see the Confederate flag as an inflammatory symbol of oppression and constant reminder of a dark period in the history of the United States in which slavery was legal. Others may simply view the flag as a symbol of shared Southern heritage in the memory of the Civil War. This is what this Huddleston, the chief inclusion officer, whatever the hell, a diversity chief and inclusion officer here, says. So he's trying actually to include the people that want to have a Confederate flag sticker. It's really funny to watch this happen.
If that becomes illegal, I should start selling Confederate flag stickers on my open bazaar and make a killing in the black market.
Yeah, or you could get the job for the chief exclusion officer. Right? that should be the new position where you get the job and you get to sit on kind of like a throne, maybe something a little special, maybe a special costume or a pin, and you just decree what opinions or images or ideas are going to be excluded, or the people or the skin tones, right? That sounds like a great job, right?
Well, let me just play devil's advocate here, though.
You're a white male! You're a white male!
I'm willing to bet that Sean Huddleston is, too. And that's really the sort of the thing here is that this just gives legs to this nonsense, and everybody's running around shaking their finger at everybody else. You know, oh my goodness, you didn't use Z and G when referring to that amorphous primate over there. You can't use the male and female pronouns. I mean, it just nonsense piles up so high that these people can't see up over it.
It's great for the lulls, at least.
Yeah, it is funny. And that's what I'm loving about this, is we've gone so far past whatever politically correct is, to the point of the babyfication of kids in America, that they can't even handle the concept of people disagreeing with them. They have to go suck their thumbs in little warm cocoons whenever somebody says something that they might not agree with.
Hey, they're going to inherit this country.
They're white males. Hey,
they can have it.
No, there is good news, though. How about this? Number of Philadelphia police officers at lowest level in years.